Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 18th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the blessings that you bestow upon us. We especially thank you that you allow us to see the fulfillment of your word in the events that take place around us day by day. We ask, Lord, that this revelation will bring to us a strengthening of our faith and trust in you, so that we might be ready for all that is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The article that I'd like to share with you today is from the Las Vegas Sun. It was published on May the 17th, 2020, and the writer of the article is J. Scott Applewhite. That's J. Scott Applewhite. Now, the reason why I was drawn to this article is because it seems to be almost the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, which says that this beast that comes up out of the earth, which has two horns like a lamb, republicanism and Protestantism, and we explained what the republicanism is before. Remember, I said that the definition of republicanism here, it does not relate to a party as such, but it is a comparison with a democracy. A democracy is one in which the will of the majority rules. So that if you've got a room with 20 people in it, 15 want to wear green, 5 want to wear red, the green have it, and everybody must then wear green. A republican form of government is one in which the will of the majority is respected, while the rights of the minority are protected. And as I've said many times before, this is the reason why when we talk about the United States of America and its flag, we make the statement, that original statement makes the point that we pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic, the flag of the United States, and the Republic for which it stands. A Republican form, therefore, is one where the will of the majority is respected and the rights of the minority are protected. But of course, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 says that this beast that has these two will ultimately stop both of those and begin to speak like a dragon. And of course, here in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, it is very specific about the kind of dragon that it's speaking like. All right, that's what drew me to this article. The Las Vegas Sun, published May the 17th, 2020. The writer of the article is J. Scott Applewhite. And the title of the article is An Accommodating Republican Party and Trump Are Transforming America into a Dictatorship. Let me give you the title again. An Accommodating Republican Party and Trump Are Transforming America into a Dictatorship. And then the subtext to that title is this: Is America waving goodbye to its constitutional form of government under President Donald Trump? By objective standards, the Trump administration and the Republican leadership have moved well past authoritarian reflexes. Here's the article. The time has arrived to confront a grim realization in calm but forthright terms. Since 2016, observers in the U.S. and around the world have remarked on President Donald Trump and the Republican Party exhibiting authoritarian tendencies. With a sense of numb shock, we now must acknowledge the facts before us. By any objective standard, the Trump administration and GOP leadership have moved well past authoritarian reflexes. Simply put, our nation has entered the early stages of a dictatorship. It's an immature dictatorship and still gathering power, but it is not theoretical, and it has happened faster than any rational person might believe. In 1788, James Madison stood before the state of Virginia's convention to ratify the U.S. Constitution and issue a warning about the future of American democracy. An overthrow, the founding father said, was less likely to happen through a violent takeover than by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power. Today, that prophecy is playing out in a chilling vigor, led by our president, who lacks all respect for our system of government. Today's Republican Party, through a quickening succession of abuses of power, is acting as an authoritarian regime. This is not hypothetical. It's not dystopian fiction. It's an inescapable conclusion when you examine the evidence. Ponder the basic elements of an autocracy and weigh them against the actions of the Trump and the GOP leadership. This administration and Republican leadership have corrupted the justice system, purged and persecuted nonpartisan military personnel and government employees to install people in their place, their people in their place, regularly encouraging paramilitary activity against, among supporters, thwarting an effort of legitimate legislative oversight, claiming absolute immunity for Trump, promoted propagandistic media while falsely discrediting the accuracy of legitimate news, manipulated the courts, marbled the administration and judiciary with unqualified lackeys, driven contracts to supporters, used the U.S. Treasury to reward friends, attempted to coerce foreign governments into leveling false charges at political rivals, eagerly courted supportive dictators around the world, excused friends from their crimes while seeking political prosecutions of enemies on false charges, sought to bend our intelligence agencies to partisan ends, threatened a free press with retaliation, revised or suppressed historical records that are unfavorable, publicly smeared perceived opinions, opponents, sabotaged fair elections, created a cult of personality around its leader, distributed government largesse based on fealty to the leader, defined critics as subhuman, traded in race baiting and nationalism, caged children and broken up desperate families, defined all events solely in terms of how they affect the leader, shattered revered institutions protecting Americans, reviled our allies while embracing our enemies, and attempted to call into question the validity of elections that go against the leader while intimating that they might attempt to postpone elections if the leader's poll numbers are weak. And that catalog of horrors is just an abbreviated list. President Donald Trump greets Republicans day by day, not necessarily physically, but in mind. These are the core attributes the world has used for decades to identify dictators. And these actions are actively afoot in America today. And they're gaining greater velocity with each day we grow closer to the election. Consider the following items from just the past couple of weeks. Friday, Trump fires the State Department's Inspector General. The fourth time in less than a month, he has removed a nonpartisan government watchdog who has found fault with the administration. The Associated Press reports that in a letter to Congress, Trump says Steve Lunick, who had held the job since 2013, no longer has his full confidence. Linick is reported to have been investigating Secretary of State Mike Pompeo for using federal resources for personal benefit. The move comes 2 weeks after Trump fired Inspector General Kristi Grimm from the Department of Health and Human Services. She had issued a report highlighting administration failures to prepare for COVID-19. At every turn in these firings, Trump sought to disable impartial oversight. On Thursday, in testimony before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, ousted vaccine chief Dr. Richard Bright says the country is woefully unprepared for further effects of the COVID-19 outbreak because Trump officials ignored his early warnings and then retaliated against him after he sounded an alarm in January. Bright, who worked for the federal government for 25 years before his firing by Trump appointees, tells lawmakers the U.S. will see the darkest winter in modern history unless there's a ramped up response. On Tuesday, asked by Time magazine about the response, about the possibility of the administration delaying the November election, Trump's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, doesn't rule it out. He also won't affirm that the election will take place November the 3rd as scheduled. It's not my decision to make, so I'm not sure I can commit one way or the other, he says. But right now, that's the plan, Kushner says. Hopefully, by the time we get to September or October or November, we've done enough with the testing and with all the different things we're trying to do to prevent an outbreak of the magnitude that would make us shut down again. Kushner's non-committal response fuels fears that Trump and the GOP will postpone the vote if his poll numbers are weak. Constitutionally, Trump lacks the power to do this, although the frequency of rumors about a delay attempts are troubling. However, with the support of a few GOP governors, Trump could throw the election into chaos. At minimum, he regularly attacks the validity of any election that doesn't go his way. Tuesday also, during oral arguments in a Supreme Court case involving three lawsuits Trump has filed to conceal his tax returns, the president's lawyers contend the president has immunity from being prosecuted or even investigated by law enforcement or Congress for any crime, including murder. In other words, the attorneys contend Trump has kingly powers, a level of authority that no president in history has been granted, and precisely what the Constitution's balance of powers are designed to prevent. On May the 8th, under pressure from Trump, the Senate rushes to set a committee hearing on the confirmation of Trump's loyalist filmmaker, Michael Pack, to lead the independent agency that oversees the Voice of America, the largest American international broadcaster. The nomination of Pack, a close ally of former Trump senior advisor Steve Bannon, has fueled fears that the Voice of America and its sister organizations would become Trump propaganda arm under Pack. Recently, Trump has been harshly critical of the Voice of America, including falsely accusing it of spreading Chinese misinformation about the coronavirus outbreak. Also on May the 8th, Trump's acting director of national intelligence, Richard Grenell, organizes his agency in blatant defiance of congressional oversight. Grenell makes the changes, which affect the network of 17 U.S. intelligence agencies he oversees, on an acting basis, after rebuffing a request from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff for details. Schiff contends, justifiably, that it's inappropriate for an acting leader to make wholesale changes. A Trump crony with scant intelligence experience, Representative John Ratcliffe from Texas, is expected to be confirmed as permanent DNI by the Senate in the coming weeks. On May the 7th, Louis DeJoy, one of Trump's financial backers and a longtime GOP donor, is selected as Postmaster General. This opens the door for Trump to force the Postal Service to raise prices for companies that deliver packages, primarily Amazon, and in turn damage the Washington Post, which is owned by Amazon's Jeff Bezos. Earlier this year, the Pentagon denied Amazon a bid for a multi-billion dollar contract, something now under investigation. Trump's USPS move also raises the distinct possibility of the Republicans using the Postal Service to hinder vote-by-mail efforts this fall. On May the 7th, a woman who had accused Dr. Anthony Fauci, a federal government's top infectious disease expert, of sexual assault, recants and says she was paid by two Trump loyalists to fabricate the claim. The woman releases an audio recording in which one of the operatives, Jack Berkman, complains that Fauci shut the country down and that you have to make up whatever you have to make up to stop that train. And that's the way life works, okay? That's the way it goes, he says. When the woman says that COVID-19 is a serious illness, Berkman replies, Mother Nature has to clean the barn every so often. How real is it? Who knows? So what if 1% of the population goes? So what if you lose 400,000 people? 200,000 were elderly. The other 200,000 are the bottom of society anyway. You got to clean out the barn. Now, this is a tape that she played back of Berkman saying this. Okay? That's Jack Berkman saying that. Considering that coronavirus so far has hit the elderly, blacks, Latinos, and other people of color hardest, Berkman's talk of cleaning the barn suggests he considers these people to be manure. On May the 7th, Politico reports that leading congressional Republicans are coalescing behind a plan to replace FBI Director Christopher Wray with someone who will be obedient to Trump. It would be another step towards dismantling the Justice Department's independence and bringing it under Trump's control. Since his inauguration, Trump has made a series of moves to destroy the nonpartisan independence of our country's intelligence community. James Comey, who was fired for not ignoring former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's overtures to Russia, has now been placed under criminal investigation by Attorney General William Barr, Justice Department. So are other members of the FBI and CIA, who investigated Russia's involvement in promoting Trump. The president has long demanded the investigations and prosecutions of these people, whom he perceives as his enemy. May the 7th. It's revealed that Senator Richard Burr, Republican from North Carolina, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, used classified information for the financial benefit of himself and his wealthy friends. Burr cashed out as much as $1.5 million in stock rights before the market crash based on his insider knowledge about the coronavirus threat. And his brother-in-law sold up to $280,000 in shares the same day. Whether Burr is corrupt or not is unknown, but Trump loyalists have applauded because Burr has crossed Trump in the past. Burr stepped down as committee chair on Thursday, a day after FBI agents seized his cell phone as part of a burgeoning insider trade investigation. Also on May the 7th, William Barr subverts federal prosecutors and the justice system by dropping charges against Flynn, who had twice pleaded guilty to breaking the law by lying to the FBI about the involvement in Russian election interference. Barr earlier interceded on behalf of another Trump loyalist, Roger Stone, by ordering federal prosecutors to reduce their sentencing recommendation for the convicted felon. This is a strange occurrence. This is a man, Flynn, who pled guilty twice and was prepared to be sentenced, a former federal judge says to the National Law Journal. He has a motion pending to withdraw his plea, which has not been decided. There's a really bad political smell to this, particularly after the Roger Stone debacle. This is going to be seen critically by prosecutors across the country as the Justice Department being the lawyer for the president, not the lawyer for the people. Also on May the 7th, asked by CBS News how history would view his actions involving Flynn, Barr says, well, history is written by the winners, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. I think a fair history would say that it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law. It upheld the standard of the Department of Justice, and it undid what was an injustice. It's a preposterous statement. An attorney general saying he cares about the rule of law, yet obviously in eager to conduct political prosecutions. But it's also a flagrant acknowledgement that the administration is willing to commit malfeasance and revise history to cover its tracks. Think Soviet era practices of removing purged individuals from history books and photos. Trump and his inner circle have already shown a predilection for this on a number of occasions. ordering that aerial photos from his inauguration be doctored so that the crowd appears larger, posting altered images that make Trump look slimmer and make his hands appear bigger, tweeting a faked photo of Trump placing a medal on the military dog that helped U.S. Special Forces track ISIS leader Abu Bakr, and coercing the National Archives into editing photos of the 2017 Women's March on Washington to white out picket signs critical of Trump. More than 2,000 former Justice Department attorneys, Republican and Democrats, demand Barr's resignation because of abuses of power. Finally, and of course, this is not the final list, but this is the last one I'll read for you today. On May the 6th, a leaked audio recording reveals that pro-Trump representative Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado, who also heads his state Republican Party, pressured a local party official to submit falsified election results so that a GOP activist could make the primary election ballot. You've got a sitting congressman, a sitting state party chair, who is trying to bully a volunteer. "I'm a volunteer. I don't get paid for this," into committing a crime, said the official that he was trying to push. The official's name was Eli Bremmer, and he said that to the Denver Post. To say it's damning is an understatement. Previously, Buck has promoted the debunked Trump fantasy that it was Hillary Clinton who colluded with the Russians. Now, there's more in that article, and you can read it for yourself. It's quite expansive and detailed, going date by date. It's found in the Las Vegas Sun, published on May the 17th, 2020. The writer of the article is J. Scott Applewhite, and the title of the article is "An Accommodating Republican Party and Trump Are Transforming America into a Dictatorship." We again thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact that you have not only told us these things in advance so that we will recognize them when they come to pass, but you have also allowed these secular writers to record the actual fulfillment of all that you said. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that this is a warning that you're giving, and that we will be ready for that which is to come. Help us not be afraid. Help us to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 18th, 2020.